What is your all-time favorite hymn? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, inviting you to vote for your favorite hymn. Send an email with your vote to hymnvote@issuesetc.org, and during the week of August 9th, we'll study the top five hymns chosen by Issues Etc. listeners. Voting ends July 25th. Vote today for your favorite hymn, hymnvote@issuesetc.org. A hymn for any time of the church year is fine. hymnvote@issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Wednesday afternoon, the 21st of July. Dr. Gary Habermas joins us for the remainder of this hour. We're going to be talking about a Swedish scholar who is actually done some rather in-depth research into Roman execution practices, in particular crucifixions and variants thereon, and concluded that it is likely Jesus did not die on a cross per se. Dr. Gary Habermas is Distinguished Professor of Apologetics and Philosophy and Chairman of the Department of Philosophy and Theology at Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia. He's author of several books, including The Case for the Resurrection of Jesus and The Historical Jesus, Evidence for the Life of Christ. Dr. Habermas, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. Good to be with you today.
Is this scholar onto something? Is it possible that this ancient symbol of Jesus' atoning death, the cross, usually like a small T, might be a less than accurate depiction of how Jesus, in fact, died at the hands of the Romans?
Well, I mean, that's possible. I think it's one of these conclusions, sort of the, yeah, he could be right, but who cares kind of category. I have said for years, decades, in my lectures on the resurrection, that we do not know the exact form of the cross. I still think there are good arguments favoring the crossbeam or the so-called Roman, the Greek tau, the letter. So either where the crossbeam is, you know, down a couple feet or up at the very top, one of those two. But and one argument, of course, for the crossbeam being down a little bit is that there had to be room to put the sign, you know, above Jesus' head. But in general, Todd, you know, to me, you know, let's say, you know, some time ago we had this deal with the so-called Gabriel stone. Could Jews have believed in a Messiah who was going to be raised after 3 days? Well, you know, and then some press says, well, you know, that would mean Jesus isn't the only one that's raised. But, of course, they're predicating this of a Messiah, and Christians have long thought that that was predicted in the Old Testament. So it's the tempest in the teapot, and I think this is really a tempest in the teapot. He's questioning whether Jesus, you know, died traditionally on a stake or on a tau-shaped cross or whatever. I will add this. If Jesus was crucified on a stake, his hands would be above his head, presumably. And experiments have shown that you will die a lot faster in that position. It makes it more difficult to breathe. So, you know, I just don't think there's anything here for Christians to be upset about.
So the scholar is not alleging that Jesus didn't die at the hands of the Romans, as the gospel writers record that he did. He is not questioning any other tenet of the Christian faith. He is simply saying maybe the way we have depicted this death, kind of strictly speaking on a T-form cross, might not have been exactly the way that it happened, and it really doesn't make any difference as far as you're concerned.
I don't think anything depends on it. There's no biblical description of what the cross looked like. I mean, there are considerations that, I could give some parameters. For example, on virtually every single ancient reference that mentions it, nails were used instead of ropes, but, you know, that doesn't affect how you die. When they crucified Jesus in the Gospels, it doesn't say they nailed him to the cross. It simply says they crucified him. Now, where we get the nail comment is in Luke, in the resurrection account. You've got he showed him his hands and his feet, and then John, his hands and his side. So there's presumably some sort of scar there. And we say, oh, well, that's from the nailing. And there's a crucifixion victim. His name is Yohanan. He was a Jewish individual who's crucified, and that but they weren't rare. It's presumed that there were thousands of Jews that were crucified by the Romans outside of Jerusalem during the fall of the city in the Jewish War, 66 to 70 A.D. But Yohanan had a nail through his two heel bones, and there's some scars on his arm bones, which indicate he could have had nails there too. But I mean, there are other scars that a person could have and not have nails. So the guy didn't go that far as I know. But the New Testament just doesn't describe these things very much. And so it's one more example where the headline, something like, you know, scholar says Jesus wasn't crucified, makes you think he was saying he either wasn't killed that way or maybe he wasn't killed at all. In fact, that's what I thought when it was first sent to me, but that's not at all what he's saying. As a matter of fact, the article that I got identified him as being an evangelical and sort of a preacher or an evangelist who's doing a doctoral dissertation. So I don't think he had, from the account I saw, he has no intention of trying to disprove anything Christianity.
You mentioned that it appears that the gospel writers are not really interested in describing the exact details of the crucifixion.
Correct.
Could that be, Dr. Habermas, because their immediate audience reading these ancient documents in at the time that they were written or hearing them read would have known full well what a crucifixion looked like it was?
They could have, but just the kind of question we're raising, is this a stake? Is it a tau shape with a, you know, do you hit, is the cross beam at the top of the pole? Is the cross beam down one quarter or one third? Just the fact that we're having these questions, it seems clear in ancient documents that victims of crucifixion could be nailed or otherwise tied or affixed to crosses or to stakes in whatever way you want to think of doing it. It was a nasty, nasty form of death. And I don't think there were any rules on how it was done. There's a little book by a well-known New Testament scholar who didn't die all that long ago, but he's a very well-known scholar. And he, Martin Hengel, the little book is called Crucifixion. He has a companion volume called Atonement. And he goes through a number of the crucifixion narratives in the ancient world. And he says that the New Testament is the clearest description, which is interesting given the fact that it's not a very clear description. And further, he says the reason they didn't describe it. Now, to answer your question directly, I think what he's saying is it's not because everybody knew exactly how it was done. It's because you didn't really speak about crucifixion in polite company. It was held back for the worst of insurrectionists, rebels, traitors, and so on. And, one of these deals where you can picture people starting to talk about it with a group of adults, and someone, you know, speaks up and says, we don't have to go there, you know, that kind of thing.
So it kind of gives a certain highlight to what St. Paul means when he talks about the message of the cross, and this meaning, of course, not just the message of how Jesus was executed, but in fact, the message of his atoning work by death on a cross, however that cross was shaped, as a real stumbling block and a cause of offense.
Sure, and we think about the verse in Deuteronomy, cursed is the man who hangs on a tree. And even in the New Testament, as far as I know, twice, and I think the writers are Luke and in the book of Ephesians, if I remember correctly, Jesus' death is referred to as hanging. So, you know, we think of hanging, and it's like put the rope under his neck and scare the horse kind of thing. But that's a specific Western U.S. brand of hanging, and there's all kinds of hanging where people die other ways that don't involve that sort of thing. So in a broader sense, yes, crucifixion is a type of hanging. It was pronounced as a curse in the book of Deuteronomy. And I think that combination of being, you know, something we don't talk about in polite company and something that the book of Deuteronomy pronounces a curse on, I think that's probably, you know, some of the best reasons why the New Testament doesn't give more details. I mean, I think Hengel's right. It's just not, you know, there are some details of crucifixion, Todd, that I would not even discuss on your program because some of them are so incredibly grotesque. You know, people would be right to just say, we don't need to hear this. But when Roman soldiers, for example, Josephus says they ran out of wood to crucify bodies outside Jerusalem.
Let's take a break right there. I want to pick up right there, Dr. Habermas, if we could, on the other side of this break, because there, yes, is some description from the historian, the Jewish historian Josephus, on how the Romans kind of went into overdrive crucifying people at a time of Jewish persecution. Dr. Gary Habermas of Liberty University is our guest on this Wednesday afternoon, July the 21st. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues, Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology, and we'd like to send you an Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. It's Wednesday afternoon, July the 21st. Dr. Gary Habermas is our guest. We're talking about a scholar in Sweden who says Jesus didn't die on a cross per se, but some other form of Roman execution involving hanging or suspension. Really nothing to worry about there because the gospel accounts don't go into sufficient detail where we could say one way or the other, only that he did die on what was called a cross. Now, you were talking before the break, and I had to catch up before our break, Dr. Habermas, about Josephus not so much describing crucifixions, but a certain lack of wood as crucifixions were being carried out by the Romans.
Yeah, he said they lacked wood for the bodies that they were going to hoist up. And in some of the ancient accounts of people that were, you know, saved for crucifixion, say, slave, runaway slaves and rebellious slaves in Roman Empire and things, many times they had so many and the soldiers were so wearied, they simply took the wooden stakes and just stuck them through people and hoisted them up. So, I mean, you would have cases where, I mean, I would think, we don't have photographs and we don't have descriptions and we don't have much of anything by way of great detail, but I would think that a lot of crucifixions didn't involve rope, nails, anything. But to comment on your opening there for the segment, I don't think this guy is at all questioning not just that Jesus was suspended on wood, but that he was crucified. That is a fair description of what happened to him. I think he's just basically, I can't see that he's doing anything more than talking about the actual shape of the object on which Jesus was hung.
Mm-hmm. Now, how is it then, I mean, just kind of take us through the biblical description of how Jesus gets to be the victim, if you will, although he obviously says he is not a victim, but a laying down his life as of his own accord. How does he get to be on a cross? I mean, in the course of the biblical account, somehow or other, he gets the worst criminal's death that the Romans could mete out.
Right. Well, we have a little comment in the Talmud that is often thought to refer to Jesus, and it's from the earliest period, so it'd be a little bit after 200 A.D. So we're talking 170 years after Jesus, give or take. And the comment says, and it doesn't, these references in the Talmud don't, what makes them difficult to see if they apply to Jesus is that they don't say the one called the Christ, like Josephus talks about James, the brother of the so-called Christ. They don't talk about Jesus that way. They simply say things like the deceiver or the this or the that, and they give them these names. And, you know, are they talking about Jesus or some other sort of rebel or some other person? But what is thought pretty strongly to be a reference to Jesus, it says that they were going to kill him. Actually, it says they were going to stone him for being a sorcerer. And I'll just stop there for a moment. I mean, if I were writing this out, I'd put an end note right there. And a lot of us, when we think of sorcerer, we think of the occult, we think of the magical arts. But sorcerer was also, it was used for other things, the term, including false teachers, was a conjurer, a maker, you know, a maker-upper of tales, strange tales. And so it says, and besides, I mean, how do we even know that this source was trying to be accurate? You know, it's name-calling. You remember that when Jesus performs miracles in the Gospels, the Jewish leaders often said he was doing this by the power of Satan. So they were looking for ways to discredit him wherever that might take him. And the source says that he was condemned for sorcery, and they were going to stone him. And so they sent a crier down the streets of Jerusalem saying, if you have anything to say in this man's defense, come forward. Because presumably, if nothing comes forward, he's going to be stoned. Well, without virtually any explanation, then it says he was hanged on Passover Eve. So all we know is that the Jews had, from the Jewish perspective, they were going to mete out capital punishment, their capital punishment, which is stoning, and then it didn't come to that, and so he was hanged. Well, from the New Testament perspective, it's because the Romans get involved. That's the reason. And the Romans crucified. And so it went from the Jewish form of crucifixion to the Roman form of crucifixion, and here you are. By the way, one of the other historical references to crucifixion, there's a number of them, more than any other thing from the life of Jesus. The dozen and a half secular sources for Jesus within a century and a half after Jesus, are they tell us quite a bit about the life of Jesus. And that dozen and a half sources, the most common thing we hear is his death. about a dozen. So about two-thirds of the secular sources tell us about his death. And one of the Roman writers, Tacitus, the historian, tells us that years later when Christianity spread, he actually says it broke out after Jesus' death. Well, we would, you know, Christians would take that to be a reference to the resurrection and the teachings of the early church. But Tacitus says the man was dead, and he was crucified under Pontius Pilate when Tiberius was governor of Caesar. And he said Nero blamed Christians for setting a fire, the great fire in Rome. And so he crucified Christians. And even there, the text, as I recall, says he nailed them to crosses. Now, these are Christians and not Jesus, but that still is a reference, the kind you were talking about, I think, to what we know about crucifixion at the hands of Romans.
And how radical would it have sounded for those first apostles going up from Jerusalem to proclaim this crucified and risen Savior to both Jews and Gentiles as a Savior? What would that have, with about a minute here, Dr. Habermas, what would that have sounded like in the ears of those ancient people?
Well, Todd, I think we mentioned a little while ago how, from the Old Testament viewpoint, it's a curse to be hanged. So Jews would say, hey, the Messiah is supposed to be vindicated, not killed. So on that account, he can't be the Messiah. But I think you raise an important hint here. Even with pagans, so to speak, it was still a horrible death that people didn't want to talk about because it was reserved for the scum of the earth, so to speak. So whether you're talking about Jews or non-Jews, that this happened to you is something you've got to get over when you tell people. But let me explain how he's really the Messiah. Let me tell you about his resurrection. They had a tough hill to go up just once crucifixion got on the table.
Finally, then, with 30 seconds, Dr. Habermas, someone just read the headline, say there's a scholar denying the crucifixion. How would you set their mind at ease?
That this particular Scandinavian scholar is not going after really anything in the New Testament accounts except the exact details of the object on which Jesus was placed. That's all. He's not questioning, as far as I can tell, he's not questioning death by crucifixion. He's not questioning the death of Jesus at all. He's not questioning the resurrection. And as I said, the article actually identified him as an evangelical. So I think, you know, when you write a dissertation, you've got to find something to do some specific research on, and I think he's just saying, hey, we don't know as many of the details as we sometimes think, but he died by crucifixion.
Folks, you'll find a link to Dr. Gary Habermas's website at our website, issuesetc.org. Go to Listen on Demand, issuesetc.org. Dr. Gary Habermas is Distinguished Professor of Apologetics and Philosophy and Chairman of the Department of Philosophy and Theology at Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia. He's authored several books, including The Case for the Resurrection of Jesus and The Historical Jesus, Evidence for the Life of Christ. Dr. Habermas, thank you.
Todd, enjoy being with you once again. Good interview.
We're looking for your favorite hymn. That sounds so simple. Actually, sit down for a few minutes and try and pick out your favorite hymn. It's not as easy as it sounds. But we want to know, after you deliberate in your own mind as to which of your Christian hymns is your favorite hymn, we want to know what it is. You can send us an email. In fact, we'd like you to send us an email voting for your favorite hymn of all time, all through the church here. Doesn't make any difference. Hymnvote@issuesetc.org. And we're going to assemble those five top favorite hymns of our listeners and then study them beginning on August 9th with our very best Issues Etc. guests. Now, voting closes the 25th of July. That's the end of this week. Hymnvote@issuesetc.org. Hymn, as in the hymns you sing. Hymnvote@issuesetc.org. Send us your favorite hymn. We'll compile them, and then our listeners' top favorite hymns will be the subject of our study beginning August 9th here on Issues Etc. When we come back, it's hour two of Issues Etc. on this Wednesday afternoon, July the 21st. Rita Marker will be with us at the beginning of the second hour to talk about a new Right to Die billboard campaign in the South. She's director of the International Task Force on euthanasia and assisted suicide. Then, part three of our four-part series on law and gospel, Dr. Carl Fikencher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be our guest. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.